Good morning. Welcome to Pathways Podcast.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Number 98.
And that was very happy.
Very happy on a dark chipper. And cloudy day.
Well, you guys kind of make fun of me because sometimes I sound kind of yay.
Jen might have taken a yay that I got some Steve gave one time and recorded it. And
I got some grief yesterday because my response to all of your wonderful pastor appreciation stuff.
Happy pastor appreciation.
Well, and I was extremely blessed by it, and but I guess I didn't respond enthusiastically enough.
Like, oh, yay.
No, I thought I was taking it all in. I'm just,
You were.
Oh, that's. Yes. And it was great. I was tremendously blessed. I mean, everywhere I turned was something you guys did.
That's right.
That was amazing.
Pies and lunch and signs on the board.
I would have been happy at coconut cream pie if that was all you did. But that was not even the beginning.
That's right.
You were overwhelmed with just...
We're a little over the top.
Thankfulness and...
Sensory overload.
That's right. It's good.
But apparently the ladies wanted you to do some sort of jig or dance to show your appreciation.
There. How's that?
She needed an afternoon nap, and that's all I needed.
He needed an afternoon nap. Because of all the food. It was wonderful. We had a pastor appreciation lunch.
We just finished an executive board meeting, which is always good and stimulating.
Yes.
But it's kind of exhausting because you're talking about a lot of information and that, you know. So, yay.
Yes.
I was extremely happy and blessed. And I just thought I'd start the podcast with a little extra special good morning.
There you go. That's great.
So I'm trying to overcompensate for my lack of enthusiasm.
Well, happy pastor appreciation.
That's right.
We do appreciate you.
We do. Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate that. And I appreciate you guys. I mean, I love my staff and I love the leaders in the church. And, you know, I always feel like, you know, pastor appreciation is really, you know, leader appreciation too. So it's good. I appreciate all that. So anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got a podcast today where we're not going to be covering a book, right?
Because we finished the book. Yes, we have.
And so we're going to go into talking about the message, but then we've got a nice little cup of topics.
For the record,
and
there
questions.
Is not tea in that cup.
There's not tea in it.
No just, tea, no water, no
just
coffee.
Pieces of paper with questions, suggestions.
Which some of the staff came up with some through. Suggestions of things to talk about.
You're like loading the
I
box
might have
here.
Peaked,
you're...
So. It's going to be great.
We're answering Marcy's questions.
They are not my questions.
And these are questions that we're all talking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Are they relevant to all of us?
I think so.
Okay. Well, that's good.
The ones that I saw.
Okay. Good.
Well, you were laughing pretty hard at one of them.
I know.
So we know you're not laughing at yourself.
No, it'll be great.
Okay.
We'll see. I don't know that we'll get through all of them today, but we'll be able to get a good...
We'll see where we get.
Good start. And we'll see what questions come up. So it'll be great.
Well, speaking of questions...
Yes.
What did you think of the sermon on Sunday?
I thought it was great.
Yeah?
Yeah, I thought it was a great message. So...
Talking about wives and husbands.
That's right.
Submitting...
Yes.
Well, I mean, that's what the scripture says.
Give us a little more background there, Aaron. So we've been in 1 Peter and the week before. So in 1 Peter 2 and then 1 Peter 3, Peter goes into this whole idea of submission. And so we've talked about how God is the authority over all, but to create order in our lives, God gives us these governing bodies or this way of governing.
Right?
Yes. And so we've talked about civil government. And so the instructions the week before were submitting to government and submitting to government authority. And then also in that week,
Workplace.
I was like, why am I drawing a blank? Workplace was the other one.
I could say something there, but I'll just keep moving on.
Sorry, that's not the one I should forget. I should look at my notes.
It just comes
it's
so
right
naturally
here.
To you in the workplace. You just
part of who I
am.
Part of who you are.
So submitting to authority in the workplace was the next piece. And then in 1 Peter 3, this week, we talked about submission within the family. And then the other piece of it, too, within all of that, is that we've talked about as believers, there's the church governance piece as well. So between civil government authority and workplace authority and family authority and the church authority, just that there's all of these structures that God has given us to create order in our lives and that we're called to submit.
And I would say, just to be fair, I mean, so we cross-reference with the Ephesians 5 text and the very beginning of the whole thing on husbands and wives, Paul says, submit to one another out of authority for Christ. So there's a mutual submission. So, you know, there's so obviously it kind of in the language out of Peter, it kind of starts out and says you need to submit to the authority of your husbands, but husbands submit too. It's a little bit different in that, you know, they submit by sacrificing and loving and, you know, all of the things that they do in the role of a husband. So it's not a power play. That's the one thing that you always worry about is that, somebody misinterprets this or something that basically says, all you women, you need to be doormats to your husband. And that's not what it's saying at all. It's talking about, you know, mutual submission and what does it look like? What does it look like for the wife? What does it look like for the husband? And obviously, you know, with the husband, he carries an authority in the family structure. So,
you know, sitting through premarital counseling with you too, you know, you bring up the point of the instructions, and is it in Ephesians where the instructions for the husband are actually longer and more in depth than the wives? And so
we need
more instruction. We need more direction.
We do.
So
we do.
But no, I thought it was good. It was been a challenging couple of weeks to preach on, and you know, we talked about
walking. Oh boy, yes it has been.
Yeah.
Has been, yeah.
But it's been good.
Yeah.
And it's been a message that we all need to hear. And if someone doesn't agree with it or it rubs something wrong, you know, I would ask why. You know, why is it challenging you? Why do you have an issue with it? And then, you know, if you can't get an answer in scripture yourself, come talk to one of the staff. Come talk to Pastor Steve and get some more clarity or explanation on it, on why you're struggling with it. So,
but yep, amen to that.
Yeah, that's good.
Definitely.
Anything that stuck out to you, Marcy? Can we talk about fancy hairstyles and expensive jewelry?
Sure.
We were kind of talking beforehand just about.
So the text you're referring to is 1 Peter 3, verse 3, where it says, don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes.
Yeah.
You should clothe yourselves instead with beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. That's the scripture that you're referring to. Yes.
We kind of joke about it, but I think early on in my relationship with my wife, like, I wanted her to do those things because that's where I found the beauty, because our marriage wasn't centered on Christ. I wasn't pursuing Christ at the time, and it was very worldly and outwardly driven. But as I've grown in Christ, you know, my love for her and my my desires, the way she makes me feel giddy is just that inward heart and that inward spirit that, you know, and the way she loves me and the way we talk to each other. And so, anyway, I kind of went off there.
No, I agree with you. And I mean, you know, from my perspective, I think that it's kind of a hard thing because, you know, obviously, so this is not, and I know this is interpreted as almost like women shouldn't have fancy hairstyle, and you know, this is where kind of the plain version of, you know, the Christian, some of the fundamentalist churches, the women, they don't wear fancy clothes, they don't wear any makeup, they don't do any of that stuff. And so it's not that you should do that or you shouldn't do that, because we also have, and I read from Song of Songs, where the text talks about, oh, you're so beautiful, I love your earrings, and I love the pearls, the necklace, and all these things. And so that was part of the woman's beauty. And so it's not a legalistic thing where you shouldn't have any of these things. It's that your true beauty comes from within.
Yeah. Right.
And you shouldn't neglect that.
Right. Yep.
And it's you know, all too often you see, you know, you see people that outwardly they look beautiful, but then as you, you know, as like on TV and stuff or in certain reality shows, you know, you have women that look beautiful and then on the outside, and then you know, as you kind of watch, you're like, ugh, you know, there's a little lacking of inward purity there.
Right.
And so it's just this idea of cultivating an inward beauty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think you touched on Sunday, even just, you know, what our culture is speaking to younger women today and how they need to look and, you know, the standard and everything has a filter now with a photo and man, what a challenging time for young women to grow up in.
Yeah.
And, you know, trying to meet a standard that really isn't attainable.
Not a real standard even.
Right.
Yeah. No, I think there's just so many messages that come at us and at women specifically, and even young girls. Just, you don't even realize the messages that are coming at you and how you're seeing these messages, whether now it's through social media or what that cultural message is that's coming at you. And, but it creates this is what you should be, and this is what you should look like, and this is what the world expects. And here's all the ways here's all the ways that you don't live up.
Yeah.
And so I think that, you know, what the text is getting at is this whole idea that it's not about what's on the outside, and it's not about all the things that you do or don't do.
How many likes you get.
Yes. It's about your inward beauty, and it's about cultivating that relationship with God, and that's what should come through. So I go back to, I think if I go through all my notes, I think I could have a book in itself on quotes from Steve's dad. So
probably
you
could.
You quoted your dad on Sunday. Beauty is only skin deep, but ugly is to the bone.
Yeah. So, have you never heard that saying before?
I don't know, but it's just now an infamous
Bruce quote. I
grew up
with these quotes and these sayings, and it's like, I just think everybody's heard them.
Yeah, that was something. Always like, my dad said.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's so true that outward beauty is, it's only skin deep. And so we have to cultivate that relationship with God. And that's where true beauty comes from. And it's not that, you know, as women that we can't have fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes, that those things are wrong. The point he's making is it's the inward beauty. It's the relationship with God. It's that gentle, quiet spirit that comes through that is most precious to God. And that's what the scripture says.
Well, and I think there's something too to be said about life that, you know, all things are fleeting.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I mean, so there is something to be said about the fact that if you live long enough, all the superficial things in life have this way of becoming more and more meaningless.
Right.
Because they're just non-existent. And so there's like, so as you get older, you know, I as a man am not like I was when I was 25, even though I like to think I am, the reality is that I'm not. But what you can work on and what is something that carries into your eternal life is just that inward spirit. And that's the part that, you know, you just have to be mindful of. I see, you know, so people come to me. So like, let's say somebody wants to ask me about plastic surgery or, you know, now they like tattoo makeup, right? Stuff like that. And if they were to say, hey, is this stuff, you know, in light of this text, is this stuff okay? I would answer them, it depends. It depends on how you feel inside. If you think that something external is going to somehow make your life better,
right,
and make you feel better about yourself, it may for a short time, but it's all fleeting.
Right.
So, you know, if it's something that you think is something that maybe you and your spouse, or maybe you just you as an individual, you think it's something that you would like to do, and it's just a part of who you are, I have no issue with it.
Right.
Because you're not sanctified by anything external. You're not unsanctified by anything external. It's all about the internal work.
Right. The other thing that I would add to that is if you kind of think about it the other way too. So say you take verse 3, don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. So what if you take that and you say, you know what, you can't do anything with your hair and you can't wear any jewelry and you just no makeup, nothing, but you don't cultivate the inward beauty of the heart and you don't cultivate that relationship with Jesus, you could still be angry and bitter and all of these things. And that's also not what he's getting at right. in the text. So right. it's not a legalistic,
right.
here's what you should do and here's what you shouldn't do. It's still getting back to that relationship with God.
Absolutely. And that's what's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty that lasts. And that's the most important point of what he's making. And that's, you know, I don't want to get off into a tangent and go into areas that, you know, because anytime you talk about stuff like this, you're talking in generalities.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always exceptions, right? There's always exceptions, but it's like this idea that, you know, you could marry the most beautiful woman in the world, but if she's ugly on the inside, it's going to turn your life ugly.
Mm-hmm.
It just is, not just for them,
right?
But for everybody involved in their life,
right? Because ugly is to the bone.
Because ugly is to the bone.
Thank you, Bruce.
So let's talk about husbands and honoring wives.
Okay. Yeah. So then instructions for husbands.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. What are some ways that you honor Vicky?
Well, so I understand that I understand how the enemy comes at her. So I make it a point in my life to counteract that by I tell her she's beautiful every day. I've even asked her, I said, do you have any doubt that I think you're the most beautiful woman in the world? And she's like, no, I don't have any doubt that you think that. And so, but that's important to me. It's mm-hmm. important she understands that I do not talk badly of her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might say a little joke about, I don't even know, but not, I don't say anything derogatory
mm-mm.
about my wife ever.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, I think I go out, I mean, it's not really going out of my way, it's the truth, but I talk about how awesome she is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the way that I honor her. And I, you know, so at home, I'll tell you how I honor my wife. Even with my kids, they made sure that they'd better respect their mother.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a way you want to wake up the angry bear.
Right.
Mess with Vicky. And I remember, you know, that was, and that's just anyway, I, you know, so I honor her. I take very seriously my role as her husband to protect her
mm-hmm.
and provide for her and, you know, to do all the things that, you know, that I'm called to do. So I guess, I don't know. I mean, how have you seen me honor my wife? It's not like I sit there and wake up every day and say, how am I going to honor Vicky today? I don't think that way at all. Mm-hmm. But I'm very conscious of dishonoring her.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the way that it has to be, you
right.
know, is because that, then it's more of that coming from that relationship and not the list of how am I going to do this today?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it's more cultivated by that relationship.
But I think for someone who maybe hasn't been in that place where they have been honoring mm-hmm. of their wife, it's going to have to start with some intentionality.
Yes.
Like it's going to have to be like, okay, today I do need to do this. And pretty soon, you know, God begins to change our heart. God works on us. And pretty soon it just becomes natural. Well, it becomes like what we want
well,
to do.
Well, how about being honest? If there is, so for husbands and wives, you entered into that relationship with past experiences.
Right. Mm.
And if those past experiences were negative in any way, mm-hmm. there's a degree of that that you carry into your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, for guys, if some woman has hurt them, maybe he just kind of, a guy's just more naturally, and for women too, they're just more naturally kind of defensive,
mm-hmm.
adversarial perhaps, and you need to heal that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get beyond that because that's not your spouse's fault.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's a piece of it. I would also say, speaking of Tank Arima, is that my dad always honored my mother,
mm-hmm.
or he was always honoring to her, also.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw it modeled, mm-hmm. and I just kind of So it does come naturally for me. Mm-hmm. But
good stuff.
Yeah.
And then let's talk about the church real quick and kind of wind it up. And this idea that, so in church government, it's this idea of we are to sympathize with each other and love each other as family. Mm-hmm. So being mindful of the fact that we all have different views and seeking to understand them and be, you know, it's like the older I get, the more I can love somebody who doesn't agree with me and not feel threatened.
Right.
So you can sit there and you can say all the things that you want to say about a particular topic, and I can disagree with every ounce of it, and I don't really need to enlighten you. Most of the time, not every time, but most of the time, it's really about Scripture. Right, in the Word of God. So if you want to have a conversation that maybe, you know, I don't know, where I'm going to stick to my guns and maybe be a little more aggressive in the conversation, it's about the Word of God. Mm-hmm. But as far as who you believe in, you know, we can have conversations, but if there's a point where I see somebody is starting to get upset, I'll kind of pull back. Mm-hmm. I'll try to, at least, because it's just not worth it. It's not worth upsetting each other over something that isn't eternal or doesn't have anything to do with the kingdom of God.
Right.
So.
Yeah. That's what I think. There's this, you know, as you look at the instructions he gives in those verses there too, just that being of one mind, sympathizing with each other, loving each other as brothers and sisters, being tenderhearted, keeping a humble attitude. But there's just this picture of connection. And so in relationships can be hard. And so... So even within that, though, it's about how am I trying to connect with this person, even if we don't agree on whatever the issue is. And I think, too, you know, we've been talking a lot lately, too, about just getting back to the gospel. Like, it's about Jesus, and whatever side you're on of the issue, like, people on both sides, they both need Jesus. And so, you know, it's just getting back to what matters and how I'm connecting with this person relationally, how does that honor God?
Right. And at no point is submission implied uniformity or conforming to the views of somebody else. So submitting to government does not mean I have to blindly accept everything that they're saying.
Right.
It means that I can certainly, there are ways of expressing disagreement. Mm-hmm. And I think our role as Christians is to be salt in the world. And then the world is heading down a cliff. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be the ones saying, hey, you don't want to go there. And so that's our role as Christians at every phase of government. But still at the same time, there are ways. Mm-hmm. There are ways of entering into that. And there's Christ-like ways of dealing with those things, and we don't wage war and get angry and then contribute to the division and the anger and the visceral and all those things, which is unfortunately what a lot of people have been doing lately.
Right.
Yeah.
I can disagree with the government, and I can have a conversation about and express my points of view. I can disagree in Christian fellowship, and in all of these areas, but I'm not going to let it ruin my relationship with people because it doesn't matter.
Right.
So,
and the scripture goes on too to really give us an instruction for restraint and patience, right? Mm-hmm. It says, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing.
Yeah.
That is what God has called you to do. And that's, that. I think for guys, that can especially be hard. I just think about, you know, BC, you know, if somebody insulted me, like it was time to get back at them. It was time to retaliate and, you know, and to win.
Well, and so the other thing is too, as I read this and I think, okay, so there are moments where I need, so there are moments when I need to process what's going on. Mm-hmm. And in that processing, I might be pretty upset about it. Mm-hmm. Right. So you have this inner circle of people as a Christian. You have your peers, your inner circle, the people you're accountable to, mentors, all these things. And maybe in that moment, let's say something just happened in the government and you're like, you know, and you're just so upset about it, or something happened in church and you're so upset about it. But then the point is that there's a big difference between processing something and speaking out loud about it, but then taking it out publicly and mm-hmm. using it as a weapon.
Right.
And I think it's important because, I mean, I'm a person, so somewhere there's like this idea that I can't say anything. Mm-hmm. And somehow if I say anything, it's sinful. But then you know what happens is you just suppress it. Mm-hmm. And then it just builds pressure.
Yep.
And then eventually there's an explosion. And so I'm a firm believer in having a discreet processing conversation where you can, quite frankly, you may even kind of overstep. Mm-hmm. And you don't justify that. It's how you move forward from that. Mm-hmm. I've had multiple times where I've had conversations with people, you know, that I trust, and then afterwards I walk away and I'm like, you know, that's just not right mm-hmm. that I feel this way. Mm-hmm. And I need to kind of submit that to the Lord. And that's, you know, that's the way it's supposed to work. Mm-hmm. But I don't want people to hear what we're saying is that you can't have a disagreeing thought or you can't like verbalize your disagreement.
Right.
Right.
I think you have to.
Absolutely.
But you just got to be smart in how you do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you have to be, you have to know when is the time to bring it out before people and when is the time when you're kind of in that safe place and you're trying to work through things.
Right.
And at the end of the day, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, right? And you brought up the point, we have to be able to process. We have to be able to get over the petty garbage, mm-hmm. is what you called it, and for the purpose of what? To go out and evangelize.
Yeah, right. our purpose is evangelism.
Right. Mm-hmm. Invite others into Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And guess what? It's going to be really... If people get invited in and all they see is bickering and infighting,
right?
Why would people, they want to be a part of that?
People are yeah. making that decision in droves.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the other thing is, and I made this comment, our job is not to condemn people, it's to convert people. Mm-hmm. And so we're inviting people into the kingdom of God. We're allowing the Holy Spirit to convict people
right.
and to do the work in people. But so we have to find this way of standing on the truth, yet... Mm-hmm. being in places where we would find it so offensive. One of the things that's happening to people today is they are moving into what's called echo chambers, mm-hmm. which means that they are completely rejecting anybody that feels differently than they do about anything.
Right. Yeah.
So now, the only people I trust is my family because we all agree about everything. Mm-hmm. Well, most of the time. And so I can't even really, be sociable with anybody mm-hmm. except, you know, people that agree entirely yep. with me.
Right.
And that is a dangerous proposition mm-hmm. because we're not always right.
Right.
There's times where we're wrong. Mm-hmm. And we need that, you know, that in the process, it confronts all that. So
mm-hmm. at some point last week, you said something about, and I think it was kind of just a passing comment in a conversation that we were having, but you said something about the difference of unity in spirit versus unity in thought. And mm-hmm. that actually really stuck with me because it's this picture that it's not this picture of, oh, we all have to think the same way.
Right.
We all have to have the same political views and the same view on masks and the same view on dot, 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 like yeah. you name it, right? And so it's not unity in thought, but there's unity in the spirit. Mm-hmm. And so it's this picture of how, you know, really Christ transcends all of that.
Right.
And it gets back to, we talked earlier about what's the mission? Like the mission is to tell people about Jesus and to help them see his, you know, forgiveness and reconciliation and all of those things. And so there's just this picture of how it looks different when we're unified in the spirit and yeah. we can have those differences in opinion and all of that. And that is really a testimony to the power of the gospel.
Yeah.
Is that you can have different opinions, but still be yeah. unified in the spirit.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, for a church that, you know, for us, the areas, so we can have different opinions about a lot of things, but there are salvational issues.
Yes. Right.
That are, you know, that are non-negotiable. Right.
And those would be unity in the spirit things.
The unity in the spirit, that's right. And so that's kind of this picture. So, but for whatever reason, God has allowed there to be disagreement about some things. Mm-hmm. Like, there's disagreement about baptism. There's mm-hmm. disagreement about leadership. There's yep. and but yet we're united on the person of Jesus, the mm-hmm. the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're united on the Word of God. We're on the authority of Scripture. We're united on all those things because these are salvational issues.
Right.
We're united on sin. Mm-hmm. We're united on the atonement, justification, all of these things that are vital to getting people into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway.
Yeah, that's what, and I heard somebody say one time that maybe God allows these differences to grow our love for others. Yeah. So, you know, I think when you think about it like that too, of you know, if we have these same common, you know, we call them major doctrines or whatever, but we have these, we believe in Jesus and we believe, but then what that maybe looks like or some of those other things that are non-salvational issues, you know, maybe God allows some of those differences in thought so that we can grow in love for others and... You know, that they're not meant to divide us
right.
because everything in Scripture calls us to love one another, love one another, love one another. And so...
See, and I actually think that... So we began talking about marriage. I think that's one of the keys about marriage
mm-hmm.
is that... So you are married to a person who was created by God to be different than you.
Right.
And it's in the differences
mm-hmm.
and loving each other that you grow.
Right.
And that's the whole point of it is that, you know, so Vicky and I are meant to complement each other,
mm-hmm.
but yet, so our differences are meant to kind of like fill in the gaps created by God so that we together are one, but those differences can become a source of friction.
Right.
but somehow there's this constant invitation to trust God.
Right.
I need my wife and the way that she is. She enhances my life. She doesn't make it more difficult.
To bring you out of your nothing box. I'm in my nothing box. Just leave me alone. How can you have a nothing box? I don't even understand how that's possible. I don't get it.
Women tend to care about everything.
It's like spaghetti. Everything is just all there and it's all together. Men are like,
oh, that's hilarious.
I'm in my nothing box. I don't want to think about that.
My wife tells a story about how early on in our marriage, we were going on a road trip to a wedding. And she was like, oh, finally a time that we just get to sit in the car and talk to one another. And immediately as we get going, I lean back the seat. And I just close my eyes, and she's like, "What is he doing? Like,
we're not going to talk.
What's he thinking about?" And I'm probably like thinking, I'd probably worked the night before, and I was tired, and I was probably thinking about cheeseburgers or something.
This is a great
simple
time to think
fishing.
About nothing.
Yeah, and it probably was about nothing. But that's men and women are different. Like we connect differently. Like. I yep. can just sit.
Two guys can sit in a fishing boat together and not talk all right. afternoon and have a great time together.
Yes. Right. Yep. Yes. I can sit next to my wife on the couch, not say a word, and feel like I'm connected to my wife.
Yep.
But not her.
No. Nope.
No, I know. And but that's where our responsibility comes in that, you know, we could sit there and say, "Well, you need to get over that." But yeah. that's the way God created our wives. They need us to connect with them. So it also says, treat your wife with understanding. You need to seek as a husband to understand your wife and get that emotional needs of your wife are vital.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I don't need you to meet my emotional needs.
Thank you.
Right? And I don't need Vicky to meet my... I don't really have any emotional needs. I mean... Not really. I mean, maybe right. I do somewhere deep down inside, but she needs me to meet her emotional needs, mm-hmm. and that's the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll leave you with this. So Trish and I have had the opportunity to work with Gary and Barb Rosberg,
yeah.
and they've written multiple books on marriage. And one of the things they say about connecting is that women spell connection T-A-L-K.
Mm-hmm.
You know how men spell connection?
S-E-X.
That's yep. absolutely right. Absolutely right. So we'll leave you with that.
That's a great place to leave. Everybody.
Thanks for that, Aaron.
Drop a bomb and move on.
Hey.
To the what's cup of next? Suggestions.
The cup of suggestions. Marcy's cup of suggestions.
That's right. You do. Yes. Yep.
Very no, good. Good message.
Yeah, it was.
Thanks definitely. Thanks for leading us through that. And it was good.
Just following through needed. The scripture, right? Yep. It's good.
Praise God.
It's good.
Yeah. Well, hopefully there's people left at church on Sunday after the last 2 weeks.
It's going to be a great message on Sunday. So
it is going to be a great message. Why is it going to be a great message, Marcy?
So we're going to talk about how Jesus went and preached to the spirits in prison.
Yay.
I know. Yeah,
that yay. Yay.
Yay.
Be great.
It will.
It will begin.
So let's, I'm kind of anxious to hear some of these suggestions. Are we going to do the announcements first? Or
no,
we'll
do this.
Okay, let's do the cup of suggestions.
Am I allowed to draw? I was told earlier I was not allowed to draw because I might have looked at the ideas. You can't peek.
I'm just mixing them
up. You can't peek. Oh, I am going to draw. She used sticky notes, so some of them stick together.
You're dumping them all over the table.
Oh, I am. There, it's, here we go. Oh, General Synod was the first one I drew. So, tell us about General Synod,
General
Steve.
Synod.
People are going, I don't even know what
so
that is.
So, the denominational meeting of ministry and elder delegates.
Within our denomination.
Within our denomination, it's the big gathering of representatives from the classes, which are, so our churches in regions are formed in classes, and then you have the General Synod, which we all meet. That's where we discuss like constitutional items, mm-hmm. denominational level items, things like that. And so General Synod is coming up, and I'm an elder delegate, I'm a pastor elder delegate. So I'm headed off to General Synod in Tucson, Arizona.
To give a message, nonetheless.
And I was asked to deliver a message on the final day.
Yes.
Of General Synod. So,
can you give us a little sneak peek of what you're going to be talking about?
Well, it's about guarding the gospel. It's about protecting the gospel and this idea that, you know, we as people of God, through the years, through the generations, there has been this valuable thing contained in the Word of God called the good news of Jesus Christ, and that Paul exhorts Timothy to, you know, guard that which has been entrusted to you. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it kind of is like this is our season to preserve the Word of God, preserve the gospel, stand true to what it means. I don't know if Christ is coming back on our watch, or if he's coming back on future watches to come, but you do have to think about what do you hand mm-hmm. to the people that when you're relieved of your watch, and that's this idea of the Word of God, the gospel itself, and the power that it contains. Mm-hmm. So there you go. I almost delivered the whole message right then and there.
It's perfect.
Good stuff. And I think it's good. A good message that everybody needs.
It's timely. There's a lot of, you know, we haven't met for 2 years.
Right, it's gotten delayed
because of COVID issues, and there's a lot of potential division in our denomination. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are locked and loaded to leave mm-hmm. the denomination, and you know, we as a church, we're prepared to as well. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it, leadership. I know we talked about it in congregational meetings and things like that. There's just some issues that you know, we feel are potentially a major departure from the authority of Scripture, and that's a big concern. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, there's a lot of people in the denomination that want to hold true to the Scriptures, and so it'll be an interesting General Synod. I don't know what's going to happen. I think that part of our issue now isn't so much specific issues. I think our issue now is more the polity, mm-hmm. in that it's hard to, you know, it's so if we have a belief in something, it's hard to enforce that belief, mm-hmm. Because of the way it's structured, is that you could have a whole region of churches that like, for example, they may believe in universalism. Mm-hmm. They don't believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and, right. and no one comes to the Father except through him. They may believe, well, all roads lead to heaven. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, okay, so if they go down that path, there's nothing necessarily polity-wise that you can really do to stop them
right.
from doing that. And so that's a concern. Mm-hmm. And there are churches in our denomination that are headed down that path. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what point do you say, you know, the Spirit is uniting us, or what point do you say, you know what, I think God's releasing us. Mm-hmm. So it'll right. be interesting.
Yep.
But that's the pivotal
right.
piece of General Synod.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I think that's good. I think too, you know, as we were just talking about submitting and government structures and how we can have differences in opinion, but yet getting back to what are the things that matter? And when you look
obedience
at
to
what
God.
Does the Bible say, and what does the Bible say about this, and how is this affecting our daily lives? And so when there are differences of opinion on those big issues that matter, that are those major doctrines, you know, that's a big deal.
Our submission to God and his government supersedes any other submission.
Right.
Our submission to God sometimes holds us under other mm-hmm. submission. But there are times where it's like, you know what? I'm not going to attack you. Mm-hmm. I don't wish any ill will upon you, but right. I can no longer be a part of this.
Right.
And that's yep. part of, I mean, that's what's potentially on the table here.
Yes. Yep. And it's been kind of brewing for years.
Decades. So
it's also not, you know, even as we talk about how General Synod has been postponed a few times because of COVID, but it's way bigger and broader than yeah. even just that. And yeah. so it's been on the table and something that's been kind of brewing for years and decades, as you say. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So all we're right, going to go right. represent. It's going to be good.
Topic number two.
It's time for you to draw. It's going to be great. One.
They're all sticking together. How does your spouse compliment you well? Feel free to brag about them.
This is, would you like to know who wrote that question? Trisha wrote that question.
Huh. Well, who wants to go first?
That's great. I think that means you're supposed to brag about her, Aaron.
It's so easy to do because she's so awesome.
Is that like compliment, like saying something to you that's flattering, or is it like compliment how she comes
how
alongside
how well.
It enhances,
yes,
makes up for your weaknesses?
EMENT compliment. So how do you
okay.
work together?
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know what? I will start. I feel like there's a lot of times that I am like, you go back to the differences between men and women, right? And you talk about, I mean, we were kind of joking, like the whole, like men are, they think in like waffles and they compartmentalize into these boxes, and women are like, everything is together. And so for me, there are times where I just need to come home and process something, or I'll just be like, bah, what do you think about this? And Todd just has a very rational way of thinking and opinion, and it just kind of helps to bring me back to, like, don't get lost in all of this, Marcy. Like, just right here. This is where you need to be. And so, yeah. So that's, I feel like that's one way that we work together well, I guess. So
I would say one thing for me and my wife is, I don't process things real well. I tend to internalize a lot of things and process in my head, and a lot of times she doesn't know what's going on in my head. And so she is good at drawing things out of me that I normally wouldn't share or wouldn't want to talk about. And I don't know, she just draws.
She pulls you out of your nothing box.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. And she does a good job of just, you know, getting me to open up and working through things that might be going on in my life or our life. And I would say we complement each other well in raising our kids too. Like there are times where I am having a bad day, and she recognizes that. And so when the kids are frustrating, she kind of takes them under her wing, and vice versa. If she's having a bad day, I'm like, you know what? Just go do something for a little bit. I'll handle it. I'll take care of it. Mm-hmm. And so I think we complement each other. Like we're good at reading each other and seeing what the other needs.
Yeah. So my marriage, so Vicky is the detail oriented one. I could care less about the details, but if it were not for Vicky, I wouldn't remember anything. I mean, unless it's like that moment, I'm just off doing what I need to do. And, you know, when the way first began, Vicky and I decided that because of the nature of what was required of me when the way first began is that she was going to dedicate herself to making sure the kids, mm-hmm. you know, it was really important that the kids didn't feel like church stole their parents mm-hmm. away from their childhood. And so, I mean, So she was the one, I mean, even in the way, her job, it was important to her that she went to work after the kids went to school and she had a job that she was home when they came home from school and that, mm-hmm. and that it was in Pella, which is where they went to school. And so they always had a parent that was there and I was always there, but you know, like immediately accessible right. in case something happened. And that was a big part of who she is. And you know, she makes our house a place where I can come home and it's peaceful. It's mm-hmm. it feels good to be home, and I can draw a lot of strength from that. I will say, kind of in a funny way, though, she compliments me is that I'm like one and a half humans, and she's a half human. So together, we you know like when we fly.
So I was gonna say you fit well on a plane together.
We fit great on a plane together. We just you know just, we just we're designed for each other, and so it's good. But. You know, again, I just think about what she's taught me about empathy. Mm-hmm. Mm. You know, I mean, I just, when I was younger, I lacked empathy. Mm-hmm. And so God used her in my life to teach me empathy, mm-hmm. which, you know, people sit there and I think guys can relate to that. I mean, I just totally lacked empathy. I mean, my whole thing was, oh, you got something bothering you? Suck it up. You know, walk it off. That's
not very empathetic.
Oh, something's hurting.
Rub some dirt on it.
Walk it off. You know, and she's taught me because I love her that's not good advice and
right.
that I need to think deeper.
Right.
So yes. many things, though. I could go on and on.
Yep.
That's good. All right,
last one. You get to draw.
You get to draw one.
Mm.
Just one.
They all stick together.
First childhood memory. Since I drew it, do I have to answer?
You have to answer, but you don't have to necessarily go first.
Well, we talked about this earlier, and I have a very vivid memory of a time I got in trouble. Mm-hmm. I was
his first memory.
I was sitting. sitting on a chair facing the wall, and I had to sit there for a while. And I noticed that some of the paint on the wall was chipping. So I went and I started flicking the paint off, and I created this really ugly spot. And my mom kind of walked up. Then I got in trouble for that. So I was like in double trouble. But she was in a quandary because she didn't know if she could put me in a chair. Up against, you know, facing the wall anymore.
So pick the paint off.
So I remember that. I do have childhood memories of my first home. And I don't know exactly where that sitting on the chair facing the wall came in, but, you know, I know I moved to the house I grew up in when I was four. Mm-hmm. So I do remember pre that. And, you know, I remember kindergarten, mm-hmm. remember going to kindergarten and all that stuff. So those are my first childhood memories.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember being in my old, I was probably only 3 years old, but I remember a carpet rake. Did you have a carpet rake? Do you remember those things that would rake up the shag carpet?
No.
You guys never had a carpet rake? I remember specifically walking down.
How old are you?
That we had, but no carpet rake.
Must have been shag carpet was always down in the basement, wasn't it?
No, this was a rental house that we lived in and I remember just walking down the hallway and going to the neighbor's house where my mom was sitting on the deck with neighbors. But talking about getting in trouble, my first childhood memory of getting in trouble, and that's probably like five. I loved to rip the cardboard tube off the toilet paper ring.
Oh my goodness.
And you ripped it off the wall?
No. There was a full set of toilet paper on there, so I had to get to the cardboard.
Oh.
So I unraveled the whole thing to the toilet just so I could rip that thing off, which I threw in the toilet too, by the way. Hit flush, and all of a sudden the water just keeps coming up. And I can remember my dad was laying on the couch in the living room, and I knew I was going to be in so much trouble. I was like, Mom! And he's like, what do you want? And I'm like, I want my mom! He's like, what's going on? He comes running in. Oh, man. It leaked through the ceiling into the basement. I got in trouble.
Just wanted.
I got spanked a few times for that. Guess what, though? I never did it again.
Nope.
That's right.
Never did it again. Yep, that's right.
The first and last time you got in trouble.
These are apparently all stories about getting in trouble.
Never got in trouble.
That's not true.
It's amazing how that leaves a lasting impression.
It does. It does.
Now you guys are all like 10 years. You're like 10, 11 years younger than me. So you're closer to your earliest childhood memory than I am.
Good grief! I think that my earliest memory is probably going to preschool and just being at preschool and making friends there and meeting new friends. And then I remember, I had a certain friend that I knew was going to be going to a certain elementary school. And so I wanted to go to that elementary school. And I remember begging my parents to let me go to that elementary school because it was kind of like you could volunteer to go because it was a longer drive and that kind of thing. And so, but I just remember begging them, and I remember them sitting down at the table and talking about it and like the whole conversation. And I was like, I just want to go there because that's where my friend is going. So that's probably my earliest memory. But I think one of my earliest memories of getting in trouble was probably, and maybe it's just most distinct because it was actually my grandma, because I never got in trouble at grandma's house, but I had like-
For some reason, I have a hard time imagining you ever getting in trouble, period.
No, I totally did. Absolutely. But I made fun of the neighbor boy at my grandma's house, and I got in huge trouble. And so it was like even bigger trouble because it was my grandma and not normal trouble that I would get in with my parents. So
you knew you were in a lot of trouble when grandma got mad.
I know. When grandma
you.
Gets mad, then you it's know like, you're going to get it.
This isn't good.
That's right.
Yeah. See, I have lots of memories of getting in trouble. Lots of them.
Got a few.
But Marcy could probably pinpoint all of hers.
Every licking I got, I deserved.
Yep. No, I agree too. I was never unjustly punished. Deserved every ounce of it.
Yep. So, yeah. Announcements. Well,
announcements. Yeah, let's move on.
All right. So we have a few things coming up. So the first thing to let people know about is we have a few things on October 23rd. So that's not this Saturday, but next Saturday, Made to Crave is going to be in Baxter. And so that is a Bible study that we're starting. Kelly Van Manen is going to be leading that, and it's going to be at the Baxter Satellite Campus. And so you can go to our website and register for that now. So that's a great class, and it's a great opportunity for people. And then we have the Alpha Retreat coming up also. And so we've been doing Alpha on Tuesday nights, and we have an Alpha Retreat that goes with that, that really focuses in on the Holy Spirit. So we talk about who is the Holy Spirit and how does the Holy Spirit work in our lives. And then we just have some quiet time too with that retreat. And so it's just a really great opportunity. But you don't have to be part of the Alpha class in order to be part of that retreat. So you can go to our website and sign up, register for that retreat. And it's open to anyone. But we do need you to register. So we would greatly appreciate you going online and registering.
Part of that's because we feed them.
We do feed them. Yes. So we need to know how many people are coming. And we feed you. And so, yes. So we need a account for that. But and then Trunk or Treat. We've been talking about this for a while, but we're going to have Trunk or Treat on Saturday, October 30. And that will be in the parking lot. And so you can go to our website now and register for a parking spot.
We really need people to start signing up.
We do.
Because we don't have a lot of registrations. We know of a lot of people that are coming, but they're not signed up.
Yes.
So I guess maybe they're they're wanting to come, but not locked in
right.
yet.
Right. Let us know.
We and I will admit, I'm one of them.
You are one of them. You are signed up.
Oh, yep.
Good job, Trisha. Yes.
How do you know it was her?
It was totally Trisha.
Which, by the way, we got our costumes.
Yes. I've heard about it. It's good.
And the trunk.
I
love it.
I think it's great.
It's going to be one of a kind.
It is. That is the truth.
Yeah.
Definitely one of a kind. So, yeah. So if you cannot make it that night, but you would still like to participate, you can drop off candy donations at the office and we'll be able to use those as well. The gathering table, we've talked about this off and on as well. The gathering table is now accepting dinner guests. And so the gathering table is a ministry that really is just a great way to connect with people, meet new people, get to talk to some people who you wouldn't necessarily maybe meet on a Sunday morning. And you go to our website, you register, and then Lisa Wagner, who is in charge of the gathering table, is going to take all of those registrations. And she has some host homes who are willing to host you in their home for a meal. And she will get a hold of you and let you know where your dinner will be. And so, so it's just a great opportunity to get involved and meet new people. And then we have the ARC coat giveaway coming up. So in November, on November 20th, we're going to be having a coat giveaway for winter coats for kids. And so if you know of someone who would benefit from that, please have them go and register on our website. We're doing it a little bit differently this year. We want to be able to meet some specific needs for people. And so we're asking people to go online and register on the website. You can tell us the size of coat and if it's a boy or a girl on there. And so we can shop specifically for those needs. And then whoever registers will be able to come on the November 20th date to pick up the coat. And so we're doing that a little bit differently again this year, but we're hoping to just be able to better meet people where they're at with that. And if you would like to make a donation to that, we're also asking that you call the office first. And so because we're shopping for specific needs, then donations look a little different with that too. So Christmas boxes, the Samaritan's Purse shoe boxes were out on Sunday. Center. Yes, so you
it's
can pick those up.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Nobody wants me to sing, so I'll just continue with announcements. You don't.
Can you sing the announcements?
No. Why don't you sing the announcements?
Maybe someday I will.
Maybe so.
How cool is it, though, just to have something for Christmas already?
I know. It's great. Yes.
And you got to do it now because it gets sent off to kids all over the world.
Yep. They're actually due back Sunday, November 14. And so if you pick up your shoebox now, you need to go shopping, get your shoeboxes filled, and get those back to us by Sunday, November 14. And then we send them on to the next checkpoint place where they go, and then they get them shipped overseas. So it takes a little while. And we've heard the mail is being a little more delayed this year, so they'll need the extra time.
You know what I just thought of?
What?
Oh, dear.
By us singing, you know, it's so good that they may get confused on Facebook and actually pull the video.
That's true. Might have to edit that careful. Out. They might think it's the actual artist singing.
Right, right.
Pretty sure we're still streaming live, so...
Takes time.
Takes a little time to catch that. Yup. So I think that's all that I have. That's all the announcements for today.
Hey, we're only two episodes away from episode 100.
Very true. Today is 98. Two weeks.
Man, I'm so
it's
excited.
It's
going to
be a great day.
Did we tell them what we're doing?
Nope.
Do we give a sneak peek of what we're doing? Or do we just...
I'm not sure you know.
Oh. Well,
I thought we settled it in a meeting.
I thought we did too. Well, a couple of us settled it.
Somebody texted me and told me what you were doing.
I can neither confirm nor deny that we will be wearing costumes.
Can't confirm or deny that.
I think the plan is that we'll be wearing costumes, but I don't know if all of us will be wearing costumes. There's probably going to be some kind of a food challenge.
We like
it. Won't be
challenges.
What we did the last time. It won't. I don't. It's not going to be hot.
Last time we did
still gonna be a struggle. Gonna be a struggle.
So there'll be a food challenge. And was there something else?
I don't think so.
I'm taking it as gospel. I know what I need to order now.
I don't know.
Yeah, we need to order that. We need to get it ordered.
Oh, that's disgusting. Just one for Aaron.
Little airplane bags.
That's it.
Yeah, let's just say there's a potential for throwing up.
That would be terrible. And you are in the, like, you can't even get out. Like, we're going to have to rethink this.
Are you a sympathy thrower-upper?
I think I would be, actually. I really kind of think I would be.
It could get really
with me,
bad.
So with me, it's not the sight, it's the smell. So the smell, it's me. So we'll see.
And it's not the taste, it won't be the taste?
I don't think so. But I don't know. I mean, some of the, well, anyway. I don't want to tease too much, and I don't want to reveal too much, but there's a possibility there. It'll be fine. We'll be fine. We do it for the sake of celebration, and I guarantee you that people will want to watch it.
A celebration, Aaron.
A celebration of what?
You won't want to miss it.
100 episodes.
100 episodes.
Let's do everything to watch Aaron suffer. That's what we do on celebratory episodes. 50, we know Aaron hates spicy food, so let's do ghost.
Hey,
pepper.
I am not a fan of spicy food.
I think it might say
either.
In the Word of God to encourage each other through our suffering.
That's right. That's right.
I will encourage you.
That's right. Jen will encourage us. Mm. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's right. And you made it through more of the suffering with that because you weren't going to let me beat you.
It's true.
That is true. So see, that's very
I think that my job as pastor and senior leader within the organization, within the church itself, is to help people go beyond what they think their limits are.
It's not a limit. It's just a non-desirable.
Yeah, but that's a limit. I mean, it's like anything else.
I mean, I could do it. I just choose not to because I don't like the feeling.
He was totally going to quit.
I'm not so sure that you can do it.
Oh, here we go.
We'll have to see.
A little reverse psychology.
I guess you'll just have to prove whether or not you can do it.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be good. We'll have a good time with it. It'll be funny. Are you going to do the podcast in character?
Maybe.
Oh my goodness.
Maybe. We'll see. Yeah. No, it'll be good. I don't know that I could maintain a whole podcast in character.
I know. My voice.
Yeah.
Is going to go.
Yeah. No.
Clearly.
But clearly there will be moments where we do that. So. All right. So a little bit of teaser. So that's in 2 weeks. That's in 2 weeks.
It's coming right up. Hope my costume comes in.
I'm still waiting on one piece, the vital piece to my costume. So.
It's going to be great. You don't want to miss it.
It's going to be great.
Yep.
All right. Well, cool. That ends another podcast. Thank you so much for listening in and or tuning in, watching, depending on whether it's online or podcast, whatever it is. We thank you, and we hope to see you soon. God bless.